Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Ah, hammock. Check. Arnold Palmer. Check. Motorized solar shades. Yes, please. Get your home and patio spring ready with brand new custom window coverings from Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the easiest way to upgrade your home with custom window treatments. You can even stay in the hammock while Blinds.com handles the install. Just click installation at checkout and relax while we do the work for you. No matter how many window treatments you order, installation is always one low cost. Need help choosing? Talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free to help you make the best selection from classic shutters to outdoor roller shades and more. With over 25 million windows covered, you can rest easy with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. See why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings with over 40,000 five-star reviews. Shop Blinds.com and save 45% off selected products. 45% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
The JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to be hanging out here with you for the next 3 hours. Much love to everybody locked in, tuning in, listening all over North America. I hope you had a tremendous Friday. If you didn't, I'm sorry. Hang out with me. I'll try to make you feel better. Keyword, try. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. You can always listen to the show every minute, every second, every hour on the free Odyssey app. If you missed last hour, Odyssey app. If you need to pause right now, Odyssey app. Thank you to everybody locked in on our many CBS Sports Radio affiliates. We got hundreds of them all across North America. We got tons of people listening on SiriusXM channel 158. We got even more people. Well, a lot of people listening on a smart speaker. If you got one, go ahead, ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. Hey, this is prime time, folks. We distribute to more stations. We got tons of listeners. We got tons of stations. I'm on during the games and after the games. It's big time. I enjoy that. If you want to holler at me, it's simple. The phone number, 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. You can also get a hold of me. I am on social media everywhere at JR Sport Brief. We opened up the first hour of the show taking a look at the women's Final Four. Half of it is set. LSU beat Virginia Tech. LSU is going to its first Final Four in its program's history. We got Kim Mulkey. If you're not familiar with Kim Mulkey, she's the lady on the sidelines with the gigantic flowers on the side of her dress, and she's just cursing everybody out. She was at Baylor for the better part of 20 years. She's in her second year with LSU, and now they're going to a national championship. Meanwhile, the other half of the equation that will play LSU on Sunday, we're waiting on that game to conclude. Right now, Iowa leads South Carolina 51-47. South Carolina, led by, you might know her name, Dawn Staley, women's basketball legend here in the United States of America. And Iowa on the court, led by Caitlin Clark, first person ever to have a 40-point triple-double in the NCAA tournament. And so you may not be into women's basketball, you may not be into women's college, now is the time, because these games, when you get to the top schools, they are absolutely amazing. A matter of fact, I want you to take a listen. You know, just listen to the folks who won. Last hour, at the conclusion of LSU's victory, Angel Reese and Alexis Morris, they spoke to Holly Rowe from ESPN. They were excited as hell. Take a listen.
Hey, we have to play defense. We have to come together and believe in each other and play defense. The game wasn't over. We've been in situations. offensively, defensively. I know my team needed a spark, so I had to trust in myself and in my teammates and in my coaches. And that's why we're competing for the national championship on Sunday, baby.
We just made history. You guys have 9 new players. Nobody thought you would be standing where you are tonight. How have you done it?
Hey, we trust God.
And God got us here. We believe in each other. All we got is each other. I'm super happy for this team. We just made history.
We just made history, baby.
Yeah, let's see what LSU can do coming up on Sunday. So we got a basketball filled weekend that has already started to take place and warm up, even on the NBA side, not to be overshadowed by March Madness. Tonight, the Los Angeles Lakers, they beat the Timberwolves in Minneapolis 123-111. Anthony Davis went out there and decided to put up 38 points. And so right now, the Los Angeles Lakers, they have a better record than those Minnesota Timberwolves in the standings. The Lakers have been able to jump all the way up to the 7th spot. And so we're going to keep you updated there as the Lakers are just, they're on a little bit of a roll right now. And LeBron James not even back at full strength, back up to full wind. But we know over the next 3 days, it's high time for basketball. The women's Final Four, the championship, is going to take place on Sunday afternoon. And then tomorrow afternoon and evening, we're going to have the men's Final Four. We're going to find out who is going to participate and play in the men's national championship on Monday night. And so in about 15 minutes or so, we're going to have a conversation with college basketball expert Deshaun Tate. He's going to come through and give us his thoughts. But before he joins us, let's take a listen to mine, okay? First of all, I can't wait to see this one. FAU, Florida Atlantic, the Owls taking on San Diego State. Congratulations to Dusty May, by the way, from Florida Atlantic. He ain't leaving. It's already been announced that he has signed a contract extension to stick around down in Boca Raton. He is not leaving Florida Atlantic. We know there's a high probability when you have success in the tournament that a larger school comes through and picks you off. Not Dusty May. He's going to be sticking around. They have already pledged additional money towards their facilities, the locker rooms, the gym. They want to make sure that Florida Atlantic isn't just here today and gone tomorrow, but that they can actually build up this program. Dusty May, in speaking to the media, he talked about his team, and he's looking forward to him. He loves them.
In this era where everyone wants the whole pie, these guys continued sharing the pie every single day, and this was the result. So couldn't be more proud of a group who did it really together every single day.
Yeah, well, it's going to be tough going up against San Diego State. You think about head coach Brian Dutcher. I know we got a lot of fans in San Diego who are locked in, listening to the show right now. They are eager. They are anxious. Not necessarily expected to be here. A lot of these teams, none of these teams are really expected to be here. We got 3 teams in the Final Four that have never even been here before. UConn being the outlier. And so San Diego State, trying to make some noise down in Southern California as the representative basketball team, there is no professional squad, they're trying to do better. They already have. They went to the Sweet 16 in 2014, and now if they win tomorrow against Florida Atlantic, San Diego State is going to the championship. But head coach Brian Dutcher and his defense, he already knows this. Florida Atlantic, oh yeah, they're going to be tough.
Just spent some quality time with Dusty May, and it's no surprise that he has the team he has. They're well coached. They reflect their head coach, and we're excited for our opportunity to play them, and I'm expecting a really, really good game.
Well, I hope all these games are good. Let me tell you something. There is nothing, and we've had some blowouts in Final Four, in the Final Four matchups. We've had some games in history that have just, they've sucked. You know, I can't remember. Maybe it was, I don't remember. I've been to so many damn basketball games, I can't remember. I was in Dallas. I don't know if this was 2012, 13, 14, 15. Whenever the damn Final Four was in Dallas, I think, yeah, North Carolina was there because I saw Michael Jordan. Like, somebody got their ass whooped. The first game was an ass whooping. And I sat in Dallas Cowboys Stadium, and I was like, man, I got to sit here for 2 more hours waiting for the other game? Like, this is terrible. Hey, Shep, this is why I like to watch things in my house. It's easy for me just to change the channel. I don't got to go back to the damn hotel, you know?
Well, this was not the UConn game where they held Butler to 41 points, was it?
I don't remember, man.
Okay.
I just know I was in Dallas. Maybe I was in Houston. And I'm watching a game, and it was a blowout. There was nothing competitive about the game. And I'm like, this is a complete waste of time. So, yeah, you can hope, Brian Dutcher, that the game is good. I hope it is. But at least if it sucks, man, I'll be home. I'll change the station, man. No problem for me. Anyway, the other matchup that we got, Miami versus UConn. Yeah, UConn has been here before. UConn is trying for its fifth title. I mean, even over the past 20 years, they're trying to get another title with their third head coach. This time, there is no Kevin Ollie. There definitely is no Jim Calhoun. Dan Hurley's trying to go out there and get the job done. He spoke to the media. He says, oh, yeah, I'm ready for Jim Larranaga.
The reception here in the great state of Texas, but the great city of Houston, just feels so welcome. You know, by the people, it was great to get on the stadium today and get on the court and put the work in, prepared for our biggest challenge of the season.
Why are they so humble? Oh, this is our biggest challenge of this against the Hurricanes. I guess, right?
He sounds spent, JR.
Like, what, he's just sick of talking to the media or what?
He's the tank is on empty right now. He's on E, man. Like, JR, to go through as long as they do and to be at this point of the season, it just seems like the fact that he has a voice is a minor miracle.
He'll be all right. Nothing that caffeine can't solve, right? No? I'm not a big coffee drinker, but if he has some caffeine, he'll be straight.
Well, listen, no. I mean, your boy Jim Larranaga is, 73 years old and still getting it done. So what's Coach Hurley's excuse?
Well, a matter of fact, let's listen to head coach Jim Larranaga. What is he, 73 years old?
73 years young, my friend, yes.
He's the only coach here left in a tournament that's been to a Final Four. He did it with George Mason. The Hurricanes, they're known for football. They are not known for basketball. They have never won a title. The Hurricanes have only had 12 appearances total in March Madness. And Jim Larranaga, let's see how tired he sounds. He says he hopes his team is not tired. Listen.
They're enjoying this experience, taking it all in, and I'm hoping the emotions of the size of the venue that they'll be able to channel their emotions in the right direction.
Okay. Well, he didn't sound tired, Shep. Maybe they spoke to him after his vitamins.
Well, he... Touche. Well, yeah. JR, also, let's just be real about this. He also knows this is going to be the last game he coaches this season, so, you know.
Yeah, no, UConn is probably going to...
Probably.
Can I hope for a good game? Can I hope for it?
Oh, yeah. It's not going to match and mirror what we're seeing in the Final Four in the women's game.
No, I'm hoping for a good game.
I gotcha.
I'm expecting UConn to beat Miami. I'm expecting San Diego State to beat Florida Atlantic. Between Jordan Hawkins and then you have Adama Sanogo out there, just based on what I've seen throughout the course of the tournament, UConn is just polished. They're polished. And I know we've spoken to quite a few of Miami's players. We've had head coach Jim Larranaga join us on several occasions. But I'm going to take UConn to ultimately win it all. San Diego State and Florida Atlantic, I'm going to take San Diego State on that end. I think the final that we get on Monday night, UConn versus San Diego State. And I think UConn is ultimately going to go out there and win that fifth title with its third coach in just about the last 20 years. Shep, it's apparent that you believe UConn is going to win as well. What do you think is going to happen on the Florida Atlantic San Diego State side? And then who do you think is going to walk away with the W on Monday night?
Yeah, well, I mean, JR, I mean, I'm in full agreement with you. UConn is by far the team to beat. You talk about what they are doing in terms of winning by 23 points per game on average each team. And then in the second half alone, they're outscoring teams by 22 points per game. No team has any answer for Sanogo. He's going to run through Miami. They got no interior defense that's going to be able to stop him. And remember, Miami, they're a class personified, but they got lucky in getting here. Dylan Dessou was out for Texas, so they caught a big break. So they're not even really a Final Four worthy caliber team. UConn's going to run through them. Then San Diego State, Darren Trammell, the defense that they put up against Alabama, that's going to carry over to FAU. They're going to be in the final against UConn. But UConn's pace of play and their ability to close out on the perimeter, I haven't seen any other team like them this year do that, JR. And they won 14 straight at the beginning of the year, and then they got hurt and they lost 4 of 6. And there's something that Hurley said to them in the middle of that season that completely resurrected and turned around their season. This is their time. And JR, when they get to the Final Four, they win. They're 8-1. When they get to college basketball's mountaintop, and it's going to be 10-1 by the time you and I are done talking Monday.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what the hell the past has to do with this upcoming Monday's game.
But they're not afraid of the big moment. UConn has never been afraid of the biggest games. I mean, just ask Duke in 1999. Just ask Duke in 2004. They don't fear it. Other teams do. They're the most dominant team in the last 25 years. No one gives UConn any credit for that.
That doesn't have anything to – from a program
– right.
Perspective, yes, it's less to do with UConn and more to do with their opposition. Because to take a look at a Dan Hurley here going for the first time and looking at players who weren't even born in most cases 20 years ago, I don't necessarily look at past performance in college and go, oh, they're not afraid. But what does Jordan Hawkins have to do with, Kemba Walker or 20 years ago? Nothing.
Well, but in all seriousness now, like, if you're donning a Duke uniform, like, you don't feel like you wear a little bit of extra pride knowing that Jay Williams and Chris Duhon and Grayson Allen and Tyus Jones played for them, right?
No.
When no?
When you step out, yeah, you can have pride, but I don't think that translates to actually being on the basketball court. You can think about the program and how large the program is as an overall, but that has more to do with the opposition being in their feelings, you know, stepping out onto a court. None of these dudes, as an overall, have played in front of 75,000 people, which is why I believe, you know, when I sit in Dallas Cowboys Stadium to watch a basketball game, it's an ass whooping because it's natural to have nerves, and the best of the best come out on top. But I'm not going to say, oh, man, well, the program and this and that. It's because they got better players. That's it. It's not because they're, you know, at this stage or that stage. They just got better players. We'll see what happens. And I got to also give a lot of credit to Adama Sanogo. At this point in time, he's also practicing Ramadan. And so he's a practicing Muslim. He's fasting from dawn to sundown. And so when he can eat is not in the daytime. And in most cases during these games, he's getting a meal in depending on the time of day. And he's still out there just kicking everybody's behind. And so Ramadan doesn't end until April 20th. And so he'll be able to get a meal in by the time they get to action over the next couple of days. But let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to college basketball expert Deshaun Tate is going to join us and give his thoughts here on the Final Four, the men's tournament, who wins on Monday night down in Houston, Texas. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We know LSU is going to the Women's Final Four. Right now, Iowa and South Carolina, they are just trading blows right now. Iowa leading 67-64, a little less than 6 minutes left in this game. And South Carolina just going out there trying to take the lead. Right before we went to break, we did discuss some of the games that we will see tomorrow. Two of the games that will help determine who will participate in Monday night's men's Final Four, or excuse me, men's national championship. Tomorrow is the Final Four. It's taking place in Houston, Texas. We have Florida Atlantic versus San Diego State. We have Miami versus UConn. Both Shep and I believe that UConn will ultimately prevail over San Diego State. To talk about these games tomorrow, to talk about the national championship, right now we are being joined by college basketball expert Deshaun Tate. Deshaun, thank you for taking the time to hop on. I appreciate it.
Man, per usual, thanks for having me, JR. And man, listen, it's we down to the last four. We started out with 68 of these and down to the last four. And you know, nobody's more excited about it than I am. Shocker, right?
No doubt about that. Are you able to head on down to Houston? You in Texas?
Oh, I'm already in H-Town, man. What it do?
Now, I've had an amazing time in the past at the Final Fours in Houston. And in the past, I've probably spent maybe the Wednesday to Tuesday out there. What's the environment like down there so far?
It's different. You know, I mean, when you start thinking about some of the best environments around the Final Four, Houston, maybe not always one of the best ones. That's more of your Indy or New Orleans or San Antonio, personally. Get a little bit more personable experience, right? But it hasn't been bad. I mean, there is going to seem like it is a little watered down a little bit. Let's just address the elephant in the room. That is because of some of the teams that have advanced, which I don't understand or overstand why people feel the way that they do, right? Because of the simple fact that who is supposed to be there is there. Whoever won their four games or five in the event that you were, you know, in the play-in, first four, you know, you won those games to advance. And that's what it's about. It's about surviving in advance. So who are we as a people to say we want the unpredictability, what we all fall in love with being March Madness, all the upsets and buzzer beaters and overtime. We love those things, but we don't want that anymore when we get to this point. We want the recognizable teams, and you don't have that. Embrace what we actually have.
Deshaun Tate, college basketball expert, is here with us, CBS Sports Radio. And to your point, this is the first time since 1970 that three of the teams here in the Final Four have never been. UConn is the only squad that has been to multiple Final Fours, and we know that they're going for their fifth. So let's start off with that matchup for tomorrow. When you take a look at the Hurricanes and head coach Jim Larrañaga, you look at UConn led by head coach Dan Hurley. What do you assume or presume that game to look like?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be one that has a little bit more of that David versus Goliath feel to it. Obviously, UConn being the team that is the most recognizable name, if you will, coming with all the size, you would think that they have the advantage and so forth, which seems like it's pretty obvious. But, you know, Miami likes to score a lot of points. And Miami likes to be able to shoot from outside. Now, I did talk to head coach Jim Larrañaga a couple of days ago. We kind of addressed the size situation a little bit and the high-volume, high-octane shooting and things of that nature. That's just the way that they play. It's going to be a little bit different this time around because in comparison to the games that they played leading up to this point, those were in arenas. When you're shooting in those domes, things look a little bit different and that rim doesn't look as big. But if you can remember, he is the only head coach in remaining in this tournament that has experience in the Final Four.
Mason.
He beat George Mason team, very similar to this Miami team in terms of their style, their system, running a lot of guards, small ball, and they beat UConn to get there. So all that size advantage and all that, he's probably not trying to hear a lot of it.
Sure. If we go ahead and take a look at the other matchup, San Diego State, you talk about Miami trying to score. San Diego State is trying to stop everybody from scoring, and they do a damn good job at it. And then you have Florida Atlantic, who is probably the biggest underdog in this entire Final Four. Well, what are your thoughts on that game?
I'll tell you what, JR, if it wasn't for Florida Atlantic making it to the Final Four, San Diego State would be the team that most people would probably consider to be the ones wearing the Cinderella slipper, probably. I think in this particular game, it's a game of matchups in the guard position, not only because, you know, those are – that's the position that gets you to this point. If you don't have those experienced guards, then you don't get to this point. Both teams have those, and they're really good guards at that. San Diego State has more of the experienced guards, but I think that Florida Atlantic goes a little bit deeper down on their bench in both – in all positions on the floor. San Diego State has a little bit more balance between offense and defense, so that doesn't play as much to the benefit of Florida Atlantic. But they don't want to hear anything about Cinderella. They don't want. They expect to be here. They won over 35 games on the season already so far. And give credit to San Diego State. If you can remember, and I'm still wiping my tears from this, JR, with the Kleenex, is we were supposed to have Final Four the year of COVID in Atlanta. The four best teams in the country at that time was Gonzaga, Baylor, Dayton, and San Diego State. It's a lot of those same pieces on the roster is still there for San Diego State. So it's nice to be able to see it come back around full circle a little bit for those guys.
Oh, so you assume that San Diego State is going to walk away with a W and we'll see that championship versus them in UConn?
Not assume. That is who I am taking to win the game. I love the idea of David versus Goliath with Florida Atlantic advancing and playing in the national championship against UConn. And I'll tell you this one quick thing about UConn, two quick things. The first one being, if you can remember back, all of these national championships, the last three of them for UConn, have come in the state of Texas. 2004 in San Antonio, 2011 in Dallas, Houston. 2014, I'm sorry, in Houston, and then 2014 in Dallas. So they have that going for themselves, I guess, a little bit. But they are not the Golden State Warriors of college basketball by any means. Really good, and they're beating teams by a significant margin in this tournament, so that's going to be really tough to overcome mentally if you're any of those other teams. I like you kind of cut down the nets, but not as much as everybody else likes.
Okay. Deshaun Tate is here with us. When you think about Dusty May and what he's been able to do with Florida Atlantic, he's already committed to sticking around past this tournament. He's not going to be poached. He's not going elsewhere. There's going to be significant money and dollars that are going into the program at FAU. How important is it to that program? And what does this mean potentially to other small schools in the future? Should they still have a fear of their coach going on to greener pastures, or is Dusty May kind of letting folks know that, hey, we got a little bit more parity into the future?
I do believe that. In some instances, I feel like some of the higher caliber jobs have been kind of taken already, maybe not all of them. But for someone that is doing the things that Dusty May is currently doing, I would imagine that, you know, that there would be something come available. That not being the case, it's not the biggest surprise in the world to see him not going on to take another job, but I think it does open eyes to the rest of the teams that are, you know, maybe in mid-major conferences, low-major, even some of the high-major programs as well. To see him stick around, I think is great. He's got a lot of good returning players coming around next year that I would imagine wouldn't be necessarily entering the portal. So Dusty May is definitely going to be a really hot commodity around this time, 365 days from now.
Deshaun Tate joining us here as we start to wrap things up. You got UConn cutting the nets on Monday night, and you mentioned the transfer portal. This is the last question I have for you, Deshaun. Tom Izzo had some comments about the portal. Not happy with all of the movement. What are your thoughts on the portal, how it affects college basketball moving forward? You know, what type of regulations or kind of, I don't want to say roadblocks, but how does this get policed in such a way where everyone isn't just saying, oh, you know, my feelings are hurt or I need a change of scenery?
I'm not sure that there is a way to really put asterisks or restrictions or whatever, limitations, rather, for lack of better words, on some of this. I think it is good for the players who can have some flexibility to be able to move around, transfer, but not just transfer, but without sitting out a whole year that can be eligible immediately. But I do understand some of the concerns that the coaches do have regarding the fact that it doesn't really show the accountability or the competitiveness, where you have somebody coming into a program and this guy's just like, oh, yeah, I don't want to compete for this spot. I'm out of here. He can have it type of deal. So that doesn't really give it the best look. But it's just it's time to just kind of embrace a new way of doing things, kind of like after we've come out of COVID. I know it's a bad comparison or analogy, but things are just different now. And we have to just kind of get used to, you know, what things look like. Player empowerment, I think, is something not just in the NBA on the pro level, but even something that's kind of trickling down or a snowball, a domino effect onto the collegiate level as well. And so just depending on what side of the fence that you're actually on, based on how you feel about it.
Hey, DeShaun Tate, college basketball expert, has been joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, DeShaun, after the national championship and the nets come down and the ladders are away, if you got reception out in NRG, how about you call us after the game?
There ain't no if about it. I'll definitely be more than willing and looking forward to being able to join you guys on Monday after the title game and somebody standing on that ladder with the scissors in hand cutting down those nets. Can't wait for it.
Hey, DeShaun, where can people follow you and all of your insights when it comes down to college basketball?
No doubt. At Tate's Take Hoops, TATESTAKEHOOPS. We call it Where Basketball Lives. Find it anywhere you find your favorite podcast. The best, the most entertaining, the most informational, and, of course, the most educational basketball content on the planet in the form of a podcast, Tate's Take. Thanks, JR.
No doubt about it. Thank you so much to college basketball expert DeShaun Tate for joining us. He ain't popping in and turning up in the tournament. He is always up to date all year long with everything related to college basketball. So I look forward to chatting with him when we have a conclusion to the game. And I think most of us here are looking at UConn, and let's see if we get a little bit of an upset or a surprise. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of an upset and or a surprise, Iowa and South Carolina are still going at it.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Truly want to call you the E.F. Hutton of the sports radio. You're just so good to your fans. You're the most knowledgeable man I've ever heard in a long, long, long time. You don't put other teams down. Just smooth and cool, and I just had to call up and tell you that, and it's a real privilege and an honor to listen to your show. I just can't thank you enough for being who you are and the way you approach your job.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
Speaking of smooth and cool, Iowa State currently leads South Carolina 75-71. It's 13 seconds left in the game. South Carolina is currently in timeout. They have the basketball. And unless they make some big shots here and get lucky on some fouls, this is going to get tough. If you have not heard about Caitlin Clark over the past week, where the hell you been? And you don't have to be no women's college basket. No, she's just been out here busting ass. She has 39 points, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds. They cannot stop this young lady. She has scored 11 of Iowa's last, or excuse me, I'm trying to watch the game. She scored 11 of their last, well, she scored all 11 of their last points. Can't even get it out right. It's South Carolina now. Hey, Shep, you watching this game in the studio?
Who's Caitlin Clark? No, if you don't know who Caitlin Clark is in the last 2 weeks, I mean, a 40-point triple-double, the first time that's ever happened in the history of an NCAA tournament, and then instead of that letting that get to her head, she's been even better. When you consider, JR, this is a 36-0 South Carolina Gamecocks team that many people thought was invincible this season. She's doing this against, like, 5 future W All-NBA players. She's unbelievable. And they know it's going her every single time, and they still can't stop her.
Yeah, I was asking you if you were watching the game, though.
That would be it. Yes, absolutely. Okay. I'm watching this game.
Yeah.
This is an instant classic, JR.
Yeah, I don't know about instant. Well, she is a she's a walking instant classic by herself. And now they South Carolina missed a big rebound opportunity, and Iowa got the ball back. I was looking at South Carolina trying to understand why they didn't go out there and foul. Yeah, I guess you get to the point where you're not thinking, or nerves must get the best of you, and that happens in the NBA. It happens everywhere. You get to these points and these instances where you're just like, please, foul. What are you doing? I guess thinking about the clock and looking at the clock and just foul. And so Caitlin Clark is back at the free throw line, and she's extended the game and the score again. And we'll give you an update on this game as it concludes. If you're not familiar with Caitlin Clark, I want you to know this. It was only a couple of days ago that she won National Player of the Year. Her head coach, Lisa Bluter, was the one to hand it over to her. I want you to take a listen to Caitlin Clark. If you haven't heard her name, you haven't heard her voice, get used to it. Take a listen to her getting the big award.
Hey, Caitlin, you know how proud all of us are of you and what you've done on the court. But what you've done on the court has far exceeded what you've done in our community and around this country in getting little girls excited about playing basketball. But no place has it been better and felt more than at the University of Iowa Children's Hospital. So here today, I just want to let you know, you are the AP National Player of the Year.
You did it.
Way to go, kid. National Player of the Year.
Kidding?
Are you kidding?
That's awesome, kid.
So happy for you.
So many ways.
Thank you.
Wouldn't be possible without every single one of you. And I really mean that.
Yeah.
I'm lucky that I'm here. Because I know it probably wouldn't be possible without other places. So thanks for believing in me. Oh, having my back.
Oh,
always.
We love coaching you.
Well, she's seconds away from not only being the National Player of the Year. She is celebrating, yelling, screaming. The fans are embracing. There's about 3 seconds left on the clock right now, and Iowa leads South Carolina 77-73. Iowa has the ball. They called a timeout. They want to figure out how they can inbound this basketball safely and without turning it over, but this is about all that she wrote. This is going to take a miracle. This would be the miracle of all miracles right now if any way South Carolina walks away with a victory here. As they lead 36-0. South Carolina's record is 36-0. They have not lost a game. And here they are in the Final Four. And you can see the looks on their faces. They know that it is just about curtains. Eyes are starting to water up. Dawn Staley looks kind of resigned to what's going to take place here. As this game is, we got Gamecocks fans there. They're walking out of the place. And I always find the NCAA Women's Tournament to be some of the best women's basketball that I see throughout the course of the year. For what it's worth, and now they're dribbling the ball out. It's a wrap. It's curtains. Iowa beats South Carolina. The final score, 77-73. South Carolina tastes defeat for the first time this season. In Iowa, led by Caitlin Clark, who you just heard received that award a couple of days ago, National Women's Player of the Year, her number's ridiculous. 41 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. She was 15 of 31 from the field. She took a lot of threes. She made 5 out of 17 of them. Not the best percentage there. But Caitlin Clark is just she's a beast. And right now, she's just rolling and running all over the court, screaming at the top of her lungs. Aaliyah Boston, from the South Carolina Gamecocks. She's consoling one of her teammates who is just crying uncontrollably. There's a lot of tears out here right now. Oh, my God. Yeah, they're bawling. Caitlin is on the ground cramping up. They had to get her off the floor. 855-212-4CBS. Manny is calling from Miami. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Good evening, my brother, man. I just saw this game, Iowa, South Carolina. And look, I'm going to give it to the South Carolina young ladies. But unfortunately, their coach let them down, man. And, you know, it pains me because she's a Hall of Fame player and probably will be a Hall of Fame coach. But you do not let one player beat you. This team should not have been in the game. She never tried to double team the girl. She did nothing. She made no adjustments.
So you're blaming Dawn Staley?
I feel bad for the young girls.
You're blaming Dawn Staley?
Yeah, she made no adjustments to do anything to get the ball out of this fantastic player. She's the best player in college basketball by far. Now, I did not watch, I'm going to admit, I did not watch many games of women's college basketball
That was going to be my next point. It would be difficult for me to question Dawn Staley, who has been doing this for the past 20 years, and how she would want to attack one individual player. I know Caitlin Clark on Iowa. I don't know nobody else on that team. I don't know
exactly.
If they – but my point – no, but my point is – that's I think we're making two different points here. I don't know if they got three-point snipers on that team. I don't know if you doubling Caitlin Clark if somebody else is going to make you pay. And so if you feel comfortable making that assumption that Dawn Staley did not adjust, I will leave that to you. For someone who has not watched any of these games outside of what I've seen over the past couple of weeks, I won't make that. And so I would personally give Dawn Staley the benefit of the doubt versus to say that, man, she didn't do anything to stop this lady. Caitlin Clark has been whooping everybody's ass. And thank you, Manny, for calling from Miami. We got to get ready to hit the break as Caitlin Clark right here is having a conversation post-game with Holly Rowe. The women's championship is set for Sunday afternoon. You're going to have Iowa. You're going to have LSU. LSU making its first appearance here in the national championship. And LSU is going to have to be the one to try to stop Caitlin Clark now. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about that game. And in the NBA, they have a deadline coming up in a few minutes. I'm going to tell you about it here on CBS Sports Radio. Don't move.
This podcast is brought to you by the Showtime original series, Yellow Jackets. For those of us who didn't peak in high school, those teenage years were pretty angsty. But nobody had it worse than the Wiskeyock High Yellow Jackets girls soccer team of 1996. Yellow Jackets, the Emmy-nominated phenomenon that has us all asking, what really happened out there and what wouldn't you do to stay alive, is back for its much-anticipated second season. The team survived a plane crash and a summer stranded in the woods, but winter bites and those girls are hungry. Plus, there might be a dark force in the wilderness compelling them to do some unsavory things. TBD. Meanwhile, 25 years later, the surviving adult Yellow Jackets are grappling with their past while getting caught up in kidnappings, cults, murders, and parenting moody teenagers. Melanie Lynskey and Tawny Cypress star with Christina Ricci and Juliette Lewis. The internet is obsessed, and Rotten Tomatoes declared it 100% fresh. So if you haven't watched Yellow Jackets, it's time. New episodes streaming now only on Showtime. And now stream Showtime on Paramount Plus.
Odyssey's I'm Listening is our commitment to more mental health conversations. Dr. John Draper talks about the new 988 short code for mental health suicide lifeline.
In terms of just providing access to a service that we know is effective in reducing emotional distress and suicidality among people who contact, you're definitely going to reach more people, including save more lives.
Talk saves lives. For more mental health conversations, visit imlistening.org.